weeks ago. Marianne also covered for me at town school. I sometimes go there and do the devotion on a Monday morning, and I nearly lost my job because she did such a good job. And that's wonderful. I'm so proud of you for that. They would just say, "Oh, that lady." It was a blessing. And I'm not yet to puff you up, but it's your heart for the Lord, my sister. So thank you. And then I need to get you laid. The lady next to you is Reverend Rose Boyd, and she'll be ministering to us this morning. You should have heard these ladies singing for us this morning. We had a choir here, and I must get this right, and Lou Spencer. And these ladies, would you mind saying, Lou? And they're all from South Carolina in the States. North Carolina, well, I got you lost. We're in South Africa, you see. I did it. I do it to everybody, and then I forget people's names. I'm awful. But they've been ministering up in Africa. Shall I get that one? I know you've been in Kenya and in DRC, Rwanda. So they're in transit at the moment. They're here for a short while. They're going down to Cape Town for some ministry. And then I would assume back to the States for a while. But it's lovely to have you ladies with us. So when I Marianne phoned me on Friday and saying, "I've got this lady, and can she sing? One of our missionary ladies, she wants to sing for us." I said, "Well, has she not got something she'd like to share with us too?" So Rose is going to minister for us this morning. So at this later stage, I'm going to hand over to you ladies. And you can do as you like, but can we give them another clap and welcome? Thank you. I must say, I'm not very good with this whole welcoming and introducing thing. I think I'll fall over my feet. But I trust that you ladies feel welcome in our midst.
Amen. Good morning, church. Lovely to be here. You in for a good treat this morning. I have known Reverend Rose Boyd since 1998. She has been a missionary to every continent in this world. She has traveled all over. She has done a magnificent work for God. She's a humble woman of God, and God has really gifted her. So for me, it's a great pleasure to have her with me. I'm traveling, back to Cape Town for a little while, but I'm coming back. But you will be blessed by her voice, and also Lou. Lou plays beautifully. She plays the piano and sings. So what a gifting to have. I think both of them teach and preach, so that is wonderful as well. So it's a great honor for me to introduce you to them this morning and to hand over. I have faith that God is going to bless us today. Is he an awesome God? Oh yeah. And if you have come ready to receive, you will receive. So today I'm going to hand over to them and they can continue. Thank you. God bless you.
It's such a delight to be here this morning. Your country is beautiful. And oh, the people. Yeah, the people of South Africa are just delightful. Thank you for welcoming us. It's such a thrill to travel around the world, see people of different skin colors, different cultures, different ethnicities, and yet to sense the presence of God that just joins us together as family. We were strangers until we met, and now we're family. What a delight. Aren't we grateful for the God we serve? It's a joy to be here. Bless you in the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I am just really happy to be with you today. I'm always glad to be with God's people because I'm telling you, Jesus is what connects us. Amen? And I'm going to try to talk slowly if I can. We have this southern slang, you know. I travel around the world, but when I get back to the States, I pick that back up as well. So everywhere I go, I kind of sound like everybody. But yes, I've been in missions now since 1997. And been traveling the world. I lived in Kenya for several years when I first started in missions, and now the missions department with the IPHC took me back home and said, "Now we want you to go internationally." So I run a ministry called Operation Teaching Tools. And the next time I'm come through, I may come and speak at the Bible school. My burden is to the layman, you who are sitting in the seat. I believe that God designed a church for the pulpit to find the vision of God, but it's you who walk out that vision. That's why you're in this church. That's why you're in Christian Heritage today, is because the Lord has brought you here. And so my burden all my life, since I was 16 years old, I've worked in the local church. Served the Lord through helping God's people find their place in the kingdom work. And to train and equip. And that's really what Operation Teaching Tools is all about. While I was in the States up to 1997, I served several churches, but the last church I served, I was there almost 20 years. And that's all I did was equip the body. And then the Lord just burdened my heart to do it worldwide. Because, you know, God's principles of His church is the same no matter what culture, no matter what language we speak, no matter what kind of food we eat, no matter what kind of skin color we are. If you belong to Jesus, then the principles of His church is the same worldwide because we're His church. Because Jesus is the head, amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is the head and we're His body. And so it's a pleasure to just serve the Lord every day. I love serving the Lord. And I didn't plan on preaching today. And then when Marianne said, well, Pastor wants to know if maybe you have a word for us today. And I said, well, I'll be honored. But I am from a singing family. I grew up on a little small farm in a little small country church. So never underestimate God's eyes on you. Because no matter where you're from, it's not your past, it's your heart that He's after. That's not what you have to give Him except your availability. Amen. All of us here today are on a different status. Mentally and emotionally, spiritually, financially. But one thing that unites us with God is our heart. And that's what He's looking for. But several years ago, I came across a new hymn. It's a modern day hymn. And it's a song that it really blesses my heart when I sing it. And so when I said to Lou last night, I said, what should I sing? She said, I know what you're going to sing. She said, why ask me? I know what you're going to sing. But when I came across this song, it really keeps us focused on who God is. He's still in control. You know why? Because He's a sovereign God. He's almighty. He's all holy. And He's everywhere present. And He knows right where you and I live. And most importantly, He wants you where He is. Okay. Name of this song is Only God. Can I get a little bit more music? Thank you. Praise your holy name. Worship with me, will you? Hallelujah.
Now only God can move your mountains. Only God can calm your seas. Only God can heal a wounded spirit. Only God, only God, and only God can hear your heart's cry. Only God, our sin untold. Only God can give us calm assurance. Only God, only God. And you know why? Because God is almighty, most holy, wise God. And Thou art all the power and the glory, O God.
Can I get a witness in this house this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now only God can be your refuge. Only God can be our strength. Only God will stand as our defender. Only God, only God. Listen, and only is majesty.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name. It is so good to come into the house of worship and feel his presence, isn't it? And you know why that is? It's because you bring him with you. You've come hungry. And where people gather together to seek his face, he shows up right there with us, doesn't he? And his power is right here with us right now. Hallelujah. Can you just lift your hands one more time and just honor his presence in our midst? Hallelujah. He lives inside of you. He lives inside of me. He is with us no matter what comes against us. He is stronger. He is mighty today. And he's all wise today. And we can trust him today. Lord, we trust you. Right now, whatever you've come to church with, give it to him right now. We don't have to wait till the end of the service. Let's do it right now. Lord, we give our heaviness to you. We give our heavy laden to you. We give our burdens to you right now. We give our troubles to you, Lord. So now that we can concentrate and hear your word. Because you're greater than he that is in me than he that is in this world. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabayando Lolabaso. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We sound that trumpet today of glory. We sound that trumpet and we blow that horn of victory today. In Jesus' name, over every need in our life. No matter what it is, God, you're greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to leave this place a different person than we came. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for victory today. Amen. No matter what's happening on the outside, we are more than a conqueror because Jesus has conquered it already. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes the devil just trips us up, don't he? And we forget, and our eyes get on our problems instead of on our solutions. Amen. But we got to keep our eyes on the answer, and that is Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All of us are dealing with different things. Everybody here today, if you're living in this sin-cursed world and you're dealing with something, you know, we're dealing something in the flesh because this flesh can't be saved. But one good thing about it, our spirit can override the flesh. Amen? Because we serve a God who rules by overruling. So whatever you're facing today, he can overrule it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise his name. Well, I feel like today that the Lord wants me to share a little bit about soul winning. You know, that's the most important work in the labor for the Lord is soul winning. Jesus came and everything about his whole life was about reaching out to people who needed hope, who needed sins forgiven, who needed a Savior, who needed deliverance. Amen. And sometimes the enemy can trip us up as a church and make us so focused on our problems, so focused on ourselves, so focused on our needs that we forget about why we're even living on the earth. The Bible says we were born what? To serve the Lord. That's why we're here. We're not here to have so many houses and cars and all the money in a bank and good jobs and so much, all some material things. Because the Bible says that everything that we can touch is going to fade away. The only thing that's left is what we cannot see inside of us, the spirit of man, the spirit of God within us. Amen? And so sometimes we get so concentrated on ourselves, on our needs, on our aches and on our pains. And I'm guilty. I have to be reeled back in sometime. The same. We have to be reeled back in to remember why we're even here. The Lord saved us not just to go to heaven, but for heaven to come to earth. And some people don't even read a Bible, don't even know about the Bible, except seeing it in you and me. And our most important task while we're living on the earth is that we be a soul winner, that we plant seeds everywhere we go, the seed of the gospel. You don't have to be an ordained minister to be a soul winner. It's all our responsibility. Would you turn with me, please, to Mark? We're going to start there, but I've got a lot of places that we're going today, I hope, if we have time. And I promise I'll try to get you out of here by 12:30, okay? Praise the Lord. I'm mindful of the time. Praise the Lord. We're going to read in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Matthew and Mark both record the last words of Christ as he ascended up into heaven.
And they recorded it to preach the gospel. Luke recorded it to preach repentance and remission of sin should be preached everywhere. And John kind of remembered the challenge that he gave Peter, that Jesus gave Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? He said they asked him three times. And remember, Peter's the one that shamefully, fearfully denied Christ. And before Jesus ever left, you know, he's the one who denied him. But Jesus came back to him and said, do you love me? Do you love me? But this is how Mark recorded Jesus' last commandment to his people. And when he spoke that 2,000 years ago, it's as if he was speaking it to you and me, because we're his disciples. Amen? And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, the disciples standing there, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, several years ago, I heard our bishop then, Bishop Ron Carpenter of our church, he preached from here. And he said, in the original Greek, it doesn't say go and preach. It says, as you go, preach the gospel. The Greek word there, go, says, as you go. So that means all of us, not just the pastor. You know, we went for so many years in the local church. And we would give a name to the pastor and say, Pastor, my son is in sin, and I would like for you to pray for him, and I'd like you to come visit with him. My niece, my nephew, my friend, my coworker, would you please pray for them and come and talk to them? But you see, technically, it's our responsibility. It's all of us' responsibility. We don't have to pass a name to somebody else except to help. Look, I'm going to go to call somebody. I'm going to go see this person. Would you pray while I'm seeing them and talking with them? It's our responsibility. You do it through outreach. You do it through so many ways. Did you know that there's nowhere in the Bible that the Bible speaks of in the New Testament where the sinners are supposed to come to the house of God? Do you see that written anywhere? No. But we see time after time after time where Jesus gave us the example to go where they were. In the marketplace. Where we work. Where we shop. Where we go holiday. In our community. Down the office. Down the hall to the next office. Just down the street to our neighbor. To sow the seed of the gospel. That's our assignment. If you know the Lord, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, that's our assignment. Serving in this house is serving our family. Our task and our labor is not singing in the worship, teaching Bible study, playing the drums, doing the offering. That's a service to this house. It's a service to our family. We're a family. Amen? It's the same as when your children come home from college and you wash up their clothes for them. You make sure, moms, that their clothes that are ripped, they're sewn, or either you go, Dad, go buy new clothes for them. If they have a car, you go change their oil for them. You check their tires. You make sure their tires are in good order before they go back to college on their cars. That's a service. What we do here is a service unto God. This is not our labor. Our labor begins when we leave these doors. That's the labor of the Lord. And each of us have a place to fill. Each of us have a gift for gifting. Oh, but Sister Rose, I leave the evangelist to do that. No, it's not the evangelist's job. The evangelist is to stir us up to get us out there. Amen? We've sung about loving the Lord today with all our heart. We've sung over and over how that we love him and how we want to give to him. But do you know how we love him the most? It's not when we're just singing and worshiping him, but when we are being what he wants us to be, where we are. Not what we're doing, but what we're being, who we are in Christ. Because if we love him, we will represent him wherever we go. Amen? I just want to talk to you a little bit about that. In the days of ancient times when there was a king and a kingdom, the king would have only one person that would be able to come into his chambers and sit at his feet and for him to write down his message to the kingdom. The word preach in the Greek means caduso. Caduso means to proclaim, to declare. The word preach here was only used twice in the New Testament, and Jesus used them both times. When he used them, it was the same thing, that you are to speak what he's to speak and say what he's to say. The kerex was what it was, the person called that was chosen by the king to come in and sit in his chambers when he was ready to speak to his kingdom. And that kerex would sit there at his feet with pen and paper, and he would write everything the king would say. And when the king's eyebrow would go up, he would make a little note. And then when he got ready to proclaim the message of the king, he looked like the king when he would go before the kingdom. He would dress and look and act like authority, one in authority, and he would look and act like royalty and like the king. That spoke boldly to me when I read that for the first time. And how that Peter said that you have been chosen by God. Peter says we are been chosen. We are peculiar people. What makes us peculiar? We're peculiar because we don't act like the world. We're peculiar because we forgive when others don't forgive. We forgive even when that person doesn't forgive us. We love our enemy. That's peculiar. How on earth do you love somebody that you know despitefully hates you? How do you love somebody? Love your neighbor when they don't walk in faith with you. They may be of an Eastern culture. They may be of an Eastern religion. They may slander your Savior and your Lord, but you love them. That's a peculiar person to the world. Remember Paul wrote, I think it was to the Corinthians, he uses the foolish things. What looks foolish to the world is what God uses to draw all men unto himself. And he uses our love for God and the love in us through Jesus Christ and that wonderful grace, that wonderful power that lives inside of us to speak forth the oracles of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the gospel. He says, as you go, just preach the gospel. Preach good news. Peculiar people have tears of sorrow on one side and tears of joy on the other side. Because even in the midst of our grief, we still rejoice. Because we know our Redeemer lives and we know where our comfort comes from. It doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from the bottle. It doesn't come from shooting up. It comes from Jesus. And all he's asking us to do, you preach the gospel by the way you live. You preach the gospel by the way we speak. We preach the gospel everywhere we go if we just be a witness. But Sister Rose, how do I go about doing that? Some of us may be new in the Lord. You may be new. You may not know him and know that you are being used by God. You may not know yet that the Holy Spirit has you ordained right in a certain place. Every delay is a God appointment. Did you realize that? And why is it the Holy Spirit always wants to show up, Pastor Keith, in an inconvenient time for us? When our lives are just full of duties and responsibilities and ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. And if we don't get it done, we're going to be in a tizzy and we get all upset. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up. Let me tell you a story. While I was still on staff at the church before I came into missions, Wednesday, I always took Wednesday. I had about 175 workers, volunteers that served in the department that I was over. I was over discipleship. And so on Wednesdays, I would go across the street where a big market, and I would get all the supplies that my teachers needed on Wednesday night for our program, for our children and youth. I was on my way there and had my list, had all the things in the cart, got behind this lady in the cash register line, and all of a sudden the paper just stopped in the cash register. And I was in such a hurry.
But yet I noticed the woman in front of me was more hurriedly than me. She was very nervous. And so I was looking at her, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, I want you to minister to her. And I went, oh, Lord, this is Walmart. I'm in a hurry. You know, I got things to do before church tonight. And I kept feeling that nugging of the Holy Spirit. I want you to just reach out to this lady. She was really nervous, an older lady. She had just a few things on the counter there to be checked out. And plus she had some medicines. And so I just reached over to her and I said, ma'am, you seem to be a bit unnerved. And she says, I am so nervous. She says, I've left my husband at home by himself. He's an invalid. And we just returned from the hospital and I had to come to Walmart to get his medicine. She said, and I'm so afraid that something's going to happen before I get back. And I said, well, did you not have somebody you could call to come pick up the medicine for you? She said, no. She said, we don't have any family that live here. I said, you don't have a church? We don't have a church. I went, whoop, you got one now. So I said to her, I said, well, ma'am, I said, we would be glad to help you. And I gave her my card, told her I was from. I said, I'm just from the church right across the street over here at Gospel Tabernacle. And I said, we would love to help you and your husband any way we can. She started crying, little tears running down her face. She said, you would do that? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, we'd be honored to. She said, why on earth would you want to help somebody you don't even know? I said, because I know Jesus, and this is what Jesus would do. And I said, do you know Jesus? She said, no, I don't know him. And I said, you know, I would love to introduce you to Jesus right now. And do you know, has there been a moment in your life that everything around you froze? And it was just you and that person you were talking to. And that's kind of what happened that day. It's like all the cash registers, there was like 7 or 8 cash registers, and they all had people lined up in there. But it's like everything around us froze. And for that one moment, I said, would you mind if I just prayed with you? Right here, I'll do it quietly. She said, oh, I'd love for you to. I just laid my hand on her hand. And I said, if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, just repeat after me. She said, I would love to. And we had talked a little bit more than that, of course. So then I told her about Jesus. And then she just repeated just a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I receive you now as my Savior. Just those few short lines. It don't have to, oh God. You know, we don't have to get into that. Some of you are laughing because you know people that do that, don't you? But just simple. Just who you are. Your own personality. That lady gave Jesus, she took Jesus as her Savior that day and asked him to come into her life. She left. She gave me her name and her address. And I got back to the church and pastor went to see them in their home and led her husband to the Lord. Less than 6 months later, both of those people, he was out of bed. The Lord had touched him, and they were members of our church and came to our church to be a part of our fellowship. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the one that draws people to God. We don't. We don't have to tell people they're wrong. We don't have to tell people they're in sin. Jesus never. He said he came to save, not to condemn. And all we're to do is the love that the Lord has shown us, show it toward other people. Amen? Sometimes we make soul winning so hard. And we think, but what if they don't say, yes, I want to accept Jesus? That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to sow the seed. The harvest comes from God. We're just to plant that seed. Amen? I'm a farmer girl. And I lived around a farm all my life when I was growing up. Worked on the farm, worked the soil, planted seed. My mom and dad had a garden every year. Oh, we hated it until wintertime, and then it was mighty good. But you know what? If you don't plant, you don't harvest. Jesus talks about that with our finances. If we don't plant, we don't get a harvest. And it's the same. All the Lord wants to do is to use your mouth and your heart and your experience with him to share. Oh, but Sister Rose, I don't know the whole Bible. Oh, Lord, I don't either. I bet Sister Shirley, some of them don't know the whole Bible, do you? I bet Pastor Keith doesn't know the whole Bible. Nobody has got it all. But you know what you know. You know what you've experienced. You know all the Lord wants to do is for us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When you got saved and asked the Lord to come into your life and He redeemed you and made your spirit alive, there was a portion of the Holy Spirit that came inside of you because it took the Spirit of God, the resurrection power of the presence of God, to make your spirit alive. But then He wanted us to go on, and in Acts 2 He said, I want to fill you with my spirit so that you can be filled and you can be led and you can walk in the Spirit of God. We can walk in the Spirit. As soon as we leave here, we're walking in the Spirit. Amen? Sometimes our body don't act like it. Sometimes our attitude don't act like it. But I want you to know inside of there, the Holy Spirit resides in us. And all He wants us to do is to be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Number two, just live out your testimony of what God has done in your life. You see, the devil can't take away what God's done in your life. He can't take that away from you. He can't steal your testimony. And your greatest tool today is the love of God and your testimony. That's your greatest tool of witness. 2 Timothy 1:17 says to turn your fear into courage. He says, for the Spirit of God that God gave us does not make us timid. But it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's out of the NIV. King James says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We share, we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We share a testimony of what God's done in us. And sometimes when there's fear, we have to, in the face of fear, we have to deal with it. Amen? Because I learned that courage is not the absence of fear. And I've learned that every single time the Lord speaks to me about talking to somebody, all of a sudden my tongue gets tied. It's like all of a sudden I get kind of afraid, but what if they don't? What if they reject me? All of us hate rejection, don't we? We just hate it. I'm so glad I wasn't born a man, because I would never asked a girl out to a date. I would have never asked her, because I'd have been afraid of rejection. She'd have had to ask me, I reckon, if I'd have been a man. But sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us about somebody we love, somebody we don't know, but somebody we work with, we start getting this fear, don't we? Does it happen to you? When all of a sudden your tongue just won't work for you anymore. And then I realize that's the enemy. It's not the Spirit of God. For the Spirit of God gives us freedom, we spoke about today. But fear comes from the enemy that binds us. And sometimes we just have to bake a cake and carry it to him and start that way. Sometimes we just have to do something nice. We have to go to the garage and pay for an oil change and go to that man. And brethren, you just have to say, look, I just felt the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to just help you. With a bag of groceries. That's the start. That's all you have to do. You don't have to sit down and give them 20 scriptures. Oh, we just make it so hard. And that's the enemy that makes everything so hard. Jesus said, my burden is light. He says, in this yoke with us. We're not in this yoke by ourselves. He's with us. And He says, I make it light for you. And when the Spirit of the Lord begins to deal with us, boom, things happen. Because if the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with us, He's dealing with them. He's dealing with that person. Several years ago, I have an older brother. He's 2.5 years older than me. And we've just enough difference in our age that everything I did aggravated him so bad. And I probably did it, you know. It was probably true. But we grew up in the same home with the same godly parents. Go to church every time the doors were open. My dad was a deacon. We were the first one to get to church and the last one to leave every Sunday, every time there was a service. But when my brother got up some age, he chose the world and I chose the church. So we had nothing in common.
He went his way, I went mine. I went to Bible school, he went to barber college. We really never had anything in common. I loved my brother, but I didn't like him, you know? Have you ever got you got siblings like that when you was growing up? We really didn't have anything in common. And in 1995, my brother had gone through 4 marriages, was living alone as a bachelor. For about 9 years, he had lived alone, and he was a womanizer. Did all the things that men that are in sin do. And all of a sudden, one Wednesday afternoon, that busy time of life, on a Wednesday, God couldn't choose a Tuesday or a Thursday, he chose a Wednesday. So I had a list of errands to run for my church on Wednesday night. And all of a sudden, I got up from my desk and went to leave, and the Holy Spirit arrested me. He said, "You're so busy making sure everybody else's children and grandchildren and young people are saved, and your brother is on his way to hell, and you don't even care." Boy, now that'll hit you right there. And I just fell on my knees in my office, at my love seat, and I said, "Lord, forgive me. Give me a burden for my brother. Give me a burden for my brother." You know, I could talk to everybody else in the whole world but my brother about the Lord. I got up. I went straight to my pastor's office, and I said, "Pastor, I got to change my day off for a few months." He says, "What in the world?" I said, "The Lord has just given me a burden for my brother." Now, my brother's barbershop was closed on Wednesdays of all the days of the week. And my brother lived almost 4 hours from me. And I said, "Pastor White, I promise you that my job will not go lacking." I said, "But the Lord's burdened my heart, and I need to form a relationship with my brother. I don't know him, and he doesn't know me." And I said, "But the Lord's given me a burden." So I called him. I said, "Sam, what you doing next week?" He said, "Oh, I'm just around." I said, "I'd like to come spend the night with you." "Oh, you do?" he said. I said, "Sure." I went on Tuesday after work, drove, spent the night with him. And it was a typical bachelor pad. There was these almost naked women pictures on the wall, and he had Budweiser clock, and his refrigerator was full of beer. But you know what? I was in his world. We have to go. Doesn't mean we have to get nasty with them and ugly and dirty, but we have to be where they are. Are you getting this story today? We got to go where they are. Don't judge Christians because you see them walking in a bar or you see them down the street with the street people. Don't judge nobody. If the Lord's burdened your heart, you do what God's told you to do. My brother was a part of several things. Like he sponsored a race car. And in the States, I don't know how it is here, but in the States, holiness people don't go to races. That was my mama's mindset. So I went to race with my brother one time. My mama said, "You're a Pentecostal holiness preacher. You got no business at the race." I said, "Mom, the Lord's burdened my heart for my brother. I'm not going to compromise my faith, but we got to go where they are. We got to go where they're hurting and where they're hopeless. We got to go there. They don't just look good and smell good, do they? We got to go where they are." Well, about 5 months, I was going to his place. 5 months went by, and all of a sudden he said, "Let me come to you this weekend." I said, "That's great." So he started coming to church with me because that's my busy weekend, is my work. Sunday was my work day. So when I'd come off the podium and go sit in the congregation, my brother would sit on the very back row. How many of you know the Spirit of the Lord's back there too? He's right back there on the back row too. So I'd go down and I'd sit with him. Well, the first couple of Sundays he came, everybody thought I had a boyfriend. So I thought I'd let him think that for a little bit. But then all of a sudden, because he put his arm around me. So all of a sudden I got to tell him the truth. I said, "He's my brother. He's not my boyfriend. But you know, about a couple of months of him coming to me, helping me. We used to cook and do fundraiser on Wednesday nights to help with our department, the funds in our department. He would help me cook, and then he'd get in his car and go to his home.
After about a few months of that, one Sunday morning, my brother, after the preacher had preached and all the ministers were down front and I was down front in the altar, I saw my brother coming down that aisle with repentant tears flowing down his face. And he fell on my shoulder. And me and him were crying so hard, I had to have another minister associate to come over and pray with him. I couldn't even pray with him. I'm telling you, you do what God's told you to do. And you know what he told me? This is the clincher of this whole story. He said, Rose, when you called me to come to spend the night with me the first time, he said, I was so miserable in my life. He said, and I didn't have one Christian that I could call and say, look, I want to change my life. I'm sick of the way I'm living. And I want Jesus. He said, I didn't have anybody to call. And then you called me. And I started forming a relationship. You know, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. That's what the bottom line of soul winning is all about, Pastor. Brethren, sisters, is that people know how much we care. We care about their future, not about so much about their present, but it's about their future, where they're going to spend eternity. That's what soul winning is all about. Amen? So you want to be sensitive to the Spirit. You want to live out your testimony. You want to turn your fear into courage. You want to trust God that he's doing a work in you and in them. You just got to trust God here that he's at work. Amen? Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many of you want to please God today? That's the only way we can please him. Not with how much money we give, not with how much time we do, not with how much we do and how much we perform, but that we are just trusting God. Trust in him. And then the last thing is that we must invest in missions. There are people around this world who need the Lord and need what you have. You will never meet them until that eastern sky split and we rise up together, and you will meet them in the air as we go up. Don't forget missions. Don't forget what your community here. But it is all our responsibility. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, it says. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that until every nation hears it, then the end will come. Did you know that the dollar that you give to missions, the rand that you might give in missions, the commitment that you might make to pray for missionary and to invest in a missionary and to invest in a project around this world could be that very last soul that the Lord is going to save and then the end come. You might be the very one that the Lord would use to lead that last person to the Lord until and then the end come. Who knows? He's just asking us to be obedient. Asking us. And I love the scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. And it says this in layman's terms. This is what it says. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. You may never be able to go to another country outside of South Africa. You may not even desire to leave Krugersdorp area. And that's okay. But you are responsible. We are all responsible for the gospel going around the world. Going where as we go and around the world. Amen. So you do soul winning in so many different practical ways. It doesn't have to be real spiritual, because God's the one that makes it spiritual. We don't. We just do obedience. That's what he's asking of us. Amen. So if you're not a soul winner, you can be one. Lou, will you just come? I don't have time to sing. She's going to play softly. And I want you to just stand with me. I don't know how you end your services, but I just want this to be kind of like a challenge to you today. The end is coming. Jesus is coming. I want everybody in this world to go when I go up. Don't you? I do. I want my enemies to go up. I want people who don't like me. Can you believe people don't like me? I just can't believe that there would be people in this world that don't like me. They're jealous of me, jealous of my life, jealous of what God's doing in my life. We've got favor on us today. We got favor of God. So you can go out in courage and in boldness and in peace. You see, that cadex had to kind of look like the king if he was going to speak for the king. That said to me, you know, we got the robe of righteousness. We've got a joy that we are clothed in. The Bible says that God clothes us in gladness. We've got His peace that surpasseth all understanding. We've got His joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We got His mercy on us today. We're clothed in righteousness today. We're clothed in salvation today. So our challenge for us today as a church body and as an individual, let's represent that King and speak for Him. It's not necessary what you know. What's necessary is what you know of God. That's what we're to speak. The message of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. And that mind can rest upon you as well. Because Romans 12 says we have a transformed mind. And we can take on that mind which was in Christ. Just lift your hands toward heaven. I believe today, I really was praying this morning about 6 o'clock and laying in bed and thinking, Lord, I just want You to do a work today in my brothers and sisters in this church. Because it's not what I do, but it's what God does in us. Amen. It's not what I'm saying today. But God's challenging you and me today to be His mouthpiece, whether we're on the job, no matter where we find ourselves in our home, in our community, in the marketplace, He just wants us to sow the seed of the gospel. And Lord, I just speak courage over this congregation today. Where there's been fear, where there's been a hesitancy, where there's been disobedience, I just speak courage in Jesus' name over this congregation. I speak, Lord, a love for souls like never before. That, Lord, they'll find themselves that they're crying tears of sorrow because somebody's lost today in their neighborhood. Somebody's lost today in their family. And I pray, Lord, that You would just lay a soul on their heart today. And they say, Lord, here am I. Lay that soul on my heart. Will you play that, Lou? Do you know that song? Do you know that? Lord, lay some soul. Lord, lay some soul. Play that where I can sing it. This is an old chorus that we used to sing when I was a little girl growing up. Just keep your hands raised and ask God to keep give that soul to you today as I sing this song. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. Heart to win that soul for Thee. Picture that person. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. Did you know that Paul had some fear? He had to deal with fear. Look, I'm going to leave this verse of scripture to you and I'm going to ask the pastor to come. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. We were looking at this verse of scripture last night in our room and thinking, I didn't realize that Paul had to handle fear. Listen what he says. He was in prison when he wrote the letter to Ephesians. And he said, pray that whenever I speak words that are given to me, so that I may will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel for which I am an ambassador of. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I pray that over you today, and I pray that over myself. God bless you, and thank you for opening your heart to us today. And know that we love you and we're praying for you. Until Jesus comes, let us be faithful to win souls for him.